So that brings us to agenda item 7, which is discussion and possible action on the report from the technical consultant. Agenda item 7.1 we'll do first is report on sub-regional planning meetings. Tony, give us a brief update.
Yes, sir.
And your how you feel they went.
And let the record show he ordered brief. We had 3 sub-regional meetings. You may recall that it's been done in previous planning cycles that we break up this large 37-county area into 3 sub-regions, kind of upper, middle, and lower. And what we did is we held these 3 sub-regional meetings over the 14th, 15th, and 16th of January. And it was what I was affectionately referring to as a traveling road show on regional water planning. We presented information across the board on the regional water plan, but we really kind of zoomed in on strategies and the information on strategies that we had been developing for the purposes of the IPP. And I would say that we really tried to emphasize, look, it's a draft. We're getting a draft Polaroid of our present understanding of the basin and the subregion to each one of these subregional groups. I would say that the response was good at the meetings themselves. The after effects of the meetings were great in the sense that if the order is engagement, then that we certainly achieved that. As we went out and spoke with groups, they'd see things and it would start those discussions either with the entity that's at the meeting, or what mostly happened was word got out and then we start getting information back from folks. And I would say that, and again, doesn't mean they weren't responded to us already. We just got more. And this list here, just since January 14th, 15th, and 16th, these are the entities that we engaged with over the course of just the response from those sub-regional meetings. It's not to call out any one particular one. It's more to just say, hey, look, just from those sub-regional meetings, we got a wealth of information on projects that they're working on, details on the projects, costs on the projects. So what we're, you know, as we're trying to dial in, and we're continuing to dial in, this IPP that we're adopting today is the adoption of a draft plan. And so that will just open up, and you'll see in the next agenda items that this is still a process and it's an ongoing process. So as far as the purposes of those sub-regional meetings go, they really prompted good responses. Hopefully the draft IPP that's coming out, that will hit the street and everybody will get to look at that and they'll go, well, that doesn't look realistic. That's not right. Good. I'm happy for that. I hope they come in, they tell me what's wrong and what's right. I'll explain the rules that are applied for the regional planning, but we will continue to dial in until we have that final plan that's due later this year. So to circle back, we got really good responses out of the sub-regional meetings. I think they were well worth the effort and the travel time to participate in them. I think it's very good to show the Water Development Board and the state that as this planning group is trying to develop these feasible strategies, you're not doing it alone. You're doing it through a targeted engagement with the region. And this demonstrates that where they can't necessarily see when your technical consultant's talking on the phone all the time, but boy, you can sure see when you're out in these public meetings, holding those meetings.
Tony, we've had these regional meetings now two or three, right? This was much better attended than the last ones, right? Because
well, I wasn't at those previous right. ones, so I couldn't say.
Gary, no. They weren't. There was less attendance at these than there were 5 years ago.
There was less.
Yeah, it was a little okay. less.
Is there any significance to those 2 asterisks in Bell County and Mineral Wells?
They were the most recent. So literally within the last week and a half, 2 weeks, we got additional information from them. So I asterisked it just to say, I mean, the reason why I put those asterisks in there is because, as you well know, we have to get the materials out to this planning group for you to review them. But we are still working hard for things like Bell County WCID number one and some of the initiatives that are going on in Bell County. And we're working hard to try and incorporate that information into the plan. That's, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but we're working hard to incorporate however recent it is and having the conversations with water providers to let them know, hey, if we can get it in there before that March 3rd deadline, if we can get all the perfect material and get it in, we're trying to, but recognize that there's a lot of minutia in preparing the plan and delivering it to the Water Development Board, meeting ADA requirements, things of those nature, that at some point we have to draw the line in the sand and say, we've got to turn in this draft and we'll incorporate it for the final plan. But that's what those asterisks are for. And then I added on, even after that, interregional coordination, simply because we've been on the phone with every region's consultant almost every day, talking with them through, you know, splits and strategies and things like that, specifically to accomplish one of the primary goals that the Water Development Board puts out, which is do not overpromise supply. So don't have any conflicts where you're talking about the same water. We're trying to avoid those. And so it means a lot of communication.
Any other questions about the sub-regional meetings? Okay, thanks, Tony. 7.2, regional planning updates.
Okay, this section will be pretty brief. Usually I give you guys a little snapshot on, don't laugh, Mr. Collinsworth. this section's on the budget. Just wanted to give you a snapshot that we're roughly 50% through the budget. That's about where we want to be in terms of knowing, okay, as this draft IPP gets out, you know, we'll probably move up to the 60 range, 65, and that allows us sufficient budget to be ready to accommodate a lot of changes and responding to comments and all the effort that we're going to need to do to get it to the final goal line. As far as our activities, what are we doing here in the next several weeks to get the ball across the goal line? Of course, it's still engagement where we can when we're flagging things and trying to pull it in. We're coordinating with those other technical consultants. We're preparing the digital deliverables, so that includes inputting and uploading mountains of data into that state planning database and making sure we're meeting all those data checks, which sounds inordinately boring, but you can bet the Water Development Board people are going, yes, they better be doing that. Also providing mapping in a GIS database of all of the strategies, modeling of the inputs, the outputs, you know, WAM, things of that nature, pulling all that together. Our document processing is lifting a huge load in terms of getting all this. This document that we got out in front of you guys probably has formatting errors. We're still looking at, you know, things like format, stuff like that, but we want to get the substantive material out for your comment, but we're still working on that finalization. And ADA is a new requirement this go around. We're putting in a lot of effort on that to make them ADA compliant. That's something that takes time. As far as the deliveries go, we're targeting March 3rd. We'll probably get it in beforehand because I don't like waiting to that last day. It makes me too nervous of a flat tire or a kidney stone. And then we're, you know, coordinating with BRA as far as one of the things we have to do is deliver the IPP to at least one county library in each of the 37 counties and the county clerk's offices. And that means pulling that information together, identifying which ones can accommodate digital versus needing printed copies, and then working out all the printing and things like that. Some of those logistics, we're doing that, those efforts. All of that may not be done. Coming to get me? All right, just making sure. I never know. But we're working on those logistics. Those need to be done, not necessarily by March 3rd, but definitely before the 30-day comment period starts before the public hearing, and that's one of the items we'll have later in the agenda. That's all I have on 7.2.
Any questions on 7.2?
I do have one question.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
So, Tony, if somebody has a comment or wants to make an adjustment to the plan, what's the drop-dead date for that?
Good question.
I would say Wednesday next week.
Wednesday next week, okay.
Yes.
Good question. Anything else for Tony on that? All right, so we're going to have 7.3 and 7.4 together, presentation, discussion, and possible action on the Brazos G 2026 initially prepared plan. And then the action item, discussion and possible action to consider adoption of the Brazos G 2026 initially prepared plan, allowing the consultant to prepare final copies of the IPP and submit the IPP to the Texas Water Development Board by March 3rd, 2025. Tony, I've been told that I'm supposed to define brief for you, but go ahead.
All right. This is our favorite schedule that's been provided by the Water Development Board in a two-point font. I put it up there not to try and ask you to read those tiny little numbers, but really to convey to you the red box. That's where we are in the five-year-long cycle that occurs in generating these regional water plans. And so we're heading into the last year. And that means coming up on March 3rd, we turn in our draft paper to the teacher, and the teacher is going to review it and give comments. The public gets to look at it and provide comments too. The public can provide those comments both orally at a public hearing to come up. Well, you saw some of that in John's presentation. I'll have some more detail on that here at the end. And then also can provide written comments. Whoa, Lordy. Man, I don't know about that. So we're going in the home stretch here on the planning, and that's where it gets very busy. And we'll have the public hearing. We'll have opportunity to incorporate all of these comments, document the comments, develop, prepare responses for the comments, integrate those into the plan, as well as revise the plan as needed, talking with the individual entities and still continuing on to that engagement effort that we're doing with the ultimate goal of a final water plan delivered to the Water Development Board by October 20th. That's the date. So what is within this IPP and ultimately what will be in the final plan? Here is kind of a brief high-level summary of the chapters that are in the plan, the main components. So many of these chapters and much of the content you guys have seen previously over the course of the last year. We've been bringing these chapters forward. Again, they were ugly. Track changes. The idea was, let's show you what was in the 21 plan and what we're evolving and building and changing. So you'll see those little regional water planning group items over there on the right where we've shared those chapters before, and we've essentially polished those up, updated any information that needed to be incorporated, data, things like that. They're more recently updated than what we showed perhaps a year ago. We've updated that information. There's an executive summary that kind of summarizes the full document, has some declarative statements about things. I'll get into it, but things like this has been adopted on such and such a date, and documents the process. We have a description of the region in chapter one, and it really goes along the planning equation that I've always talked about. After describing the region in chapter one, chapter two talks about the population projections and the growth in the region and the accordant growth in demands, both municipal and non-municipal, so manufacturing, steam electric power generation, irrigation, and the like. We've got all of those, the description of those in chapter two, the methodologies we've been through over time. Chapter three gets to the water supply analyses. Now that's kind of bifurcated into source and what the source availabilities are, what the resultant supplies are on the surface water side, on the groundwater side, what reuse is done, those components. And then we take those, We make this comparison of supply versus demand and determine where there are surpluses and where there are shortages. Shortages, the parlance in regional planning, is needs. That's the name of chapter four, is essentially identification of water needs. Where are there shortages? Chapter five then moves into the nitty-gritty discussion, county by county, entity by entity, water user group and wholesale water provider and major water provider, of the strategies that are recommended within the plan. It starts with a required subsection on conservation. The Water Development Board requires a subsection on conservation. So we include that subsection. We include major project implementation. That goes back to this implementation discussion where we surveyed entities and compiled information where we got responses. We've documented that in the format that the Water Development Board provides, a specific formatted table that we have to populate, and we include that section as well. Chapter six discusses the impacts of the regional water plan and consistency with the protection of the resources that I mentioned earlier that the scope of work committee considered. Chapter seven, we showed to the planning group in a previous meeting that focuses on drought response information, activities, and recommendations. We include examples of water conservation plans for various types of entities. We include examples of drought contingency plans. We, in chapter eight, have a discussion on unique stream segments, unique reservoir sites, and we include, I alluded to it earlier, those policy, legislative, and regulatory recommendations. It also includes discussions like improvements to the planning process, things like that. So as we continue to develop and refine the conversation, then that, you know, we may want to update and revise that for the purposes of the final plan. But right now we've taken everything that was adopted and formally adopted by the policy committee, the planning group, whatnot. We've integrated it in chapter eight. Chapter nine is summarizing the implementation information and documenting the implementation, as well as comparing to the previous regional water plan. I'll summarize that very briefly in saying it's kind of what we've talked about all along. We've got a 2020 census now, and with that 2020 census comes revised pictures of projections. We also have a policy change at the state level that now allows for populations to decline in the planning process. That has, you know, where entities are declining, it projects a decline. That's a significantly different picture than holding them constant like has been done in the previous five planning cycles. On the supply side, we've got the latest official, on the surface water side, we've got the latest official Brazos WAM, and we had an adopted hydrologic variances that we got approved by the Water Development Board, and we've included those WAM results and those source availabilities into the considerations, and we compare that to the last round. So we've got limitations on supply availability, particularly when you've got new droughts that are occurring. So that could change your firm yield on surface water. On the groundwater side, of course, we have updated mags, and we include information on the mags and non-mag areas, relevant, non-relevant aquifers, and we compare all of that in the previous plan. And then chapter 10, I will say chapter 10 in the IPP is pretty brief. It's like a page or two. And really, that's because chapter 10 is to be dedicated in the final plan to all of the comments that we're about to receive on the IPP. We're going to document all of them, and there's a series of appendices that go along with the plan, I'll get into it in here a second, where we will track all of those, organize them by agency, by entity, include all that with chapter 10, and that dialogue will significantly expand that chapter 10 for the final plan, essentially. Those in volume two of the IPP is where we organize the strategies by these various categories. So the first part is a required portion from the Water Development Board that talks about the methodology. I mentioned earlier that the planning group adopted a process. We document that process and lay all of that out per requirement from the board. Then we go into the conservation strategies, methods, and assumptions that go into conservation and water loss. We then discuss reuse, reservoirs, major groundwater strategies, conjunctive use, aquifer storage and recovery, regional water supply projects, of which there are many. And that's also an item of importance to the Water Development Board, is really identifying regionalization where, you know, one entity may not be able to accomplish something, but working with other water providers can do more. We really highlight those. We look at reallocation, brush control strategies, and then we have a kind of a catch-all at the end for miscellaneous strategies that are the smaller groundwater projects, add a well here, or increase your contract, or if it's like a new water treatment plant, I shouldn't call a new water treatment plant small, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, a new water treatment plant or an expansion to a treatment plant, we describe those in that last section. And then lastly, we have a swath of appendices, A through P, that essentially compile data that we're, you know, pulling together in that database. And this is all the supporting information that goes to back up the compilation that we have in the volumes 1 and 2. These are the required reports, the required data summaries that are either in the administrative code or from the guidelines from the Water Development Board or contractually that we have to include in a regional water plan. I won't read all of them here. What I will say, though, is that you will find that the written comments received on the initially prepared plan, that's TBD. When we get those comments, we'll include them there. So it's a placeholder. Same with Appendix G. Economic impacts of not meeting needs. That, as I mentioned earlier, we'll get that study from the Water Development Board in August. In the executive summary, just to kind of give a summary here of that portion, since you haven't seen that, it essentially compiles what I just walked through with you of the full plan. It just does it in a, we're limited to 30 pages, and so we take the key elements from each of the chapters and then boil them down into those 30 pages, from introducing the planning process to describing the region and going through all of those elements with the key findings. I'd say we lean into a bit on the strategies and the unmet needs. As we talked about, unmet needs are a big deal. We have significant amount of municipal and non-municipal unmet needs in this planning cycle. And we're identifying that because, again, it's that balance. I call it a center cut. It's that balancing act of recommending feasible strategies and identifying where we're not, where we haven't identified feasible strategies. Those are remaining unmet needs. So it's aggressive on the unmet need front. And we highlight that, and we're conveying that message. And then, of course, there are required appendices. This go around, they're not 500 pages long like you might be used to for those of you that have done previous planning cycles. The board changed the rules. Now we're allowed to point them to the board's website where that database is. And so we provide explicit instructions in the executive summary on how to access those key tables on the board's website. And that's sufficient for the requirements for the regional planning. And that's what this list is here, are the 25 different data reports that are populated from all the work and information that we're feeding in that database. Readers will have the instructions on how to get these and look at this specific data for their entity and their and for Region G, and looking at, you know, you got a lot of different ways of looking at the elements of the plan. But these are the 24 that are going to be 25 of them, actually, because there's 10A and 10B. And then Chapter 10, I also wanted to touch on in there, even though it's just several pages long, we expound on public participation and the outreach efforts that have we've been talking about all day. We provide the regional planning website and where readers can access that. We discuss about our coordination with WUGs and wholesale water providers. We document our interregional coordination, both the liaisons and their participation, as well as the technical consultants and our efforts. We discuss these meetings and the public meetings, the opportunity for public comment at these meetings. And then we will have sections, we have placeholders right now, on the public hearing and the comments on the IPP that we'll, like I said, we'll expound on when we have those later. And so where that leads me is to the schedule going forward. This right here is actually from the Water Development Board. I think it's just a variation on what John presented earlier, but it gives you that sense of, okay, that big red box right there, the IPP due on March 3rd. Then we've got this time frame where after the initially prepared plan is due, we're going to have a public hearing. We'll have, I'll get into that in the next slide, the public hearing. But then we'll get the socioeconomic report in August. There will be some regional planning rules potentially updated in the latter part of the year, and our final plan is due on October 20th. I think there's some contractual things we'll need to do, but I don't think we need to get in that here. This is another breakdown of that schedule, now more detail. I think it's almost exactly the same as what John provided, so I might be retreading ground, but I think it's important as you consider the next action item, i.e. the timing of the public hearing on the IPP. You know, after the planning group adopts the IPP, essentially the way I think of it as, okay, we have to have a 30-day window to allow for public comment before you can hold the public hearing. Then you hold the public hearing, and then there's a 60-day window after that that there's allowed for comment. And then I believe the agencies, is it 90 days? Am I remembering right? 90? The Water Development Board has 90 days to issue comments. 120. 120 now? Okay. My bad. Strike that. 100.
The Water Development Board has 120. I think everybody else has 90. Ah,
okay. So I don't know if y'all could hear that. Water Development Board has 120 and everybody else has 90, the other agencies. So we'll be accepting all of those public comments. Once those days click off, then we will compile all the information and start working on drafting responses. I wave the flag here and say that while that official part's going on, we're still going to continue engaging with every water provider that wants to talk with us. And anywhere where that we see something that's off or different, you know, we'll be engaging with them to try and dial it in. That will require a lot of conversations about the regional planning process and its rules, but we are working to try and fit every strategy we can in a reasonable manner. And so that leads me to the suggested action. I think there's a couple, but I'll stop here.
Yes, before we get into the action, any questions for Tony on the IPP?
Yes, I guess I just want to ask one question. I don't want this to be a lengthy discussion, but back to our earlier dilemma with the Statement of Work Committee and trying to convey this, and the executive summary is 30 pages long, and it's pretty well outlined by, like you said, it reflects the overall plan. It pulls it up into a condensed version. There are some very key statements in that. I'm wondering if there's any need or any art to pulling those key points to the very front so that there's no doubt in anybody's mind. I don't know who all will eventually read this, but at the executive level, to get past page one is asking a lot. So if you, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
I understand.
You know, is there any benefit in things like there are 37 unmet municipal WUG? There's a few sentences in there that are very quantify the issue that was brought up earlier. And I'm just wondering if there's any value at all in bringing that to the very front. I know it gets away, and I'm not suggesting that be done before we approve this. This is just kind of tweaking it in the art of presenting this issue to get it really in front and front and center instead of buried in 30 pages.
I will say we have a cover letter that goes along with the plan.
Okay.
And that might be something that, you know, again, depending on the language of this suggested action, that we might address it in a cover letter. Because, yeah, you're kind of describing like a white paper for the plan. Mm-hmm. And it might be that the cover letter would be such a place that, you know, would communicate some of those key topics, you know, that rise to that level. Now, I would want some instruction from you guys on who identifies which are those key topics, you know. I think that's the rub, is that, you know, I will amend my statement that I said earlier. I think for revising the IPP, we still need anything by Wednesday. But when it comes to that cover letter, I think we could allow a little bit more time since, you know, there's a page. We still have to have everything turned in by March 3rd. We have to print it and get that information out. But I would say we don't have to have the cover letter by next Wednesday. We could probably say Friday or the following Monday to allow a little bit of time. But I would ask who exactly would identify what these key points are. That would be my question.
I think Judge Spurgeon told them to you earlier.
Well, I mean, it's this is just an initially prepared plan. We go through public comment. This is not the final plan.
Right.
Correct. So there's still opportunity to add, and I would encourage anybody that has some concerns to make a written comment. Right. That's part of the process. Yeah. I mean, we've had a conversation here today, but it doesn't limit us and our abilities or any others that are concerned to submit public, you know, written comment, which, you know, prompts a response. So that, you know, documents those things. I agree they're probably not beating down the door to get a copy of this, you know, and read through it. But it needs to be documented so that down the road when those issues come up and somebody says, we all didn't anticipate this, clearly we had it documented that we were concerned as this thing was approaching. And so there's still opportunity to consider what that executive summary is going to say and up until final adoption. So there's opportunities. Thank you.
I think if you take a look at it and you've heard, I mean, you know our sentiment and our thoughts of what our issues are.
Tony, you know one, and Kenny, we talked exactly what you were talking about. How do we get the attention of people? If we're truly concerned that this plan is ringing the siren, how do we say that? And the cover letter seems to me to be the most standout way to put that out there. The question is, would it be, we have this concern, you know, the amount of water, unmet needs, because the unmet needs are a pretty big deal at this point. And that's kind of where we were worried and, well, here's the plan. Everything's fine. Don't worry about anything. That's not the case this time. So I'm not sure what those words are, but.
Well, my initial response is that, as Mr. Weldon said, we can go into the executive summary and tease out the words that are there and I think formulate you know, what essentially right now the cover letter kind of is, it checks the boxes for this was adopted. This was, you know, on behalf of blah, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. But that I think that we can add on by going through the executive summary and essentially making a mini one pager that goes into that letter that I think we've got the words there. We just need to pull them out and organize them up towards the front in that letter. So it's maybe it isn't exactly saying brand new things. It's just highlighting the things we're already saying in the plan. That also makes me feel comfortable that we're not getting adventurous and creating something new that this body hasn't seen, that we're pulling information out of the plan. Now, I might have to, you know, make it make sense in a context, but as long as the sentiment's there in the plan and you guys have had an opportunity to review it, I know that kind of makes me comfortable. I think it would make the board comfortable and whomever's signing the letter which right now I have it from the chair. So.
Yeah, and I'll just add, I wasn't suggesting that we provide editorial comments, just pulling the facts up so it's just clear and obvious. This is on page, you know, 17, we say that there are 37 municipal WUGs that are unmet needs. And those facts are pulled to the front that state the obvious. So it's not a editorial about how we feel about it. It's just, no, here's the result.
Okay, Gail has a comment.
Right. I'm echoing Gary's point and Kenny's point because I think the beauty of a cover letter, which was an excellent reminder, that you can have the letter and then have the parenthetical C pages so that you don't have to leaf through 30 pages and then hundreds of pages, but go right to it. And in my experience, that really just is like a light beam that drives someone right to the issue. So that cover letter can be such a powerful tool for highlighting those points.
Gary Westbrook.
Tony, you guys have done such a good job of compiling information and documentation. But I really like this part of the discussion that we're having because of, you know, just maybe in the very first part of that cover letter, just bulleting a couple of points that really stand out that have been discussed that are the major concerns that we've been talking about for months. We'll do exactly what Gail said. And I think it'd be a wonderful tool to be able to take advantage of.
Any other comments, questions for Tony? You hear what we're saying?
If you're asking me, yes, sir. Totally get it. We can do it. We can get it in.
Okay. And then we'll review it.
And I think this action covers that.
It does. Okay. So we have a recommended motion. I'll read it, and then I'll see if I can get a motion in a second. The Brazos G Regional Water Planning Group approves the technical consultant to coordinate with the chair and administrator and submit the 2026 Brazos G initially prepared plan and accompanying digital deliverables as necessarily modified for final submittal to the Texas Water Development Board by March 3rd, 2025, and to distribute digital and or physical copies of submitted initially prepared plan to all required libraries and county clerk offices in the Brazos G region. I would entertain a motion to that effect.
I would make that motion.
I have a motion by Gary Westbrook. Do I have a second for the motion?
Second.
Second by Alan Gardenhire. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion before we vote? Any further discussion? Okay, and we're going to do this by voice vote. Everybody's present. All those in favor say yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed, no. It passes. Thank you, group. This is the start. We'll have another shot at it a little later. All right, that brings us to 7.5, discussion and possible action and consideration of the IPP public hearing date and authorization of the regional water planning group sponsor to publish the 30-day notice of the public hearing. I'm going to let you talk, Tony, but I'm going to go ahead and give them the date. Is May 6th. It's going to be the date of the public hearing and also the date of another group meeting. Okay, Tony.
All right. Really, I just wanted to provide kind of a layout roadmap in terms of a vague schedule of how we get from here to the final plan. I mentioned it a moment ago, so I won't go into too much detail. But again, I think the main consideration in front of you right now is, okay, that 30-day period. We have to accommodate 30 days before and we need to accommodate 60 days after. We need to squeeze that in the right time frame such that we have ample time to, one, distribute all the plans out to the county clerk's offices in the regions, and then on the backside, allow enough time to incorporate all the comments, develop responses, and whatnot. And I think that the date that's been identified works within those confines. But we would tentatively look at getting the information, having a date, May 6th, right?
Yes.
Then get the socioeconomic report. We'd have a meeting at the same time. Update you on any information we're getting since the IPP. Then July, August, potentially have a meeting to review the comments compiled once we get past that 60-day time frame. And then September, probably in late September, have a meeting to adopt the final plan, or early October, so that we can meet that October 20th deadline.
Questions,
so with that,
Tony?
Have a suggested action, unless anybody needs to look at that schedule any further.
Okay, this is the recommended motion. The Brazos G Regional Planning Group approves scheduling of the public hearing to receive comments on the 2026 Brazos G initially prepared plan on May 6, 2025, and further authorizes the Regional Water Planning Group Administrator to publish the 30-day notice of the public hearing.
Make a motion.
We have a motion by Dale Spurgeon. Is there a second? Second by David Collinsworth. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, now everybody's here to vote. All those in favor, yes?
Yes.
All opposed, no? Okay, it passes. You get to sit down, Tony. Thank you for the work you've done. You still got a lot of work to do. We look forward to the public hearing, and I would encourage the public that they do have an opportunity for written comments, and they also have an opportunity for oral comments, which will be responded to at the public hearing.